All right, here we are. This is Jack Mize, and today I have a guest here that I want to do an authority agent spotlight on, because she was one that kind of recognized the opportunity early on when I first started talking about this stuff, and put it into action and watched it happen, and watched it work the way that, you know, she thought it would work, the way that people hoped it would work, and really saw it work, but got a lot more out of the response and the feedback from the people that she helped. And today the spotlight is on Donna Gunter. How are you doing, Donna?
Hi, Jack. I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, thank you for being here. You know, one of the reasons that I want to do a spotlight here is because you have a lot of the elements that some people would consider obstacles, right? That they would consider, well, this is something that's going to impede my ability to be successful at that. You've managed to overcome a lot of this with getting things done, and been pretty resourceful throughout the whole thing. So let's start off with talking a little bit about kind of where you're from and what your background is, and how the two don't necessarily mix in some people's minds with being from, we're both from Texas. We can be a little bit loose with the politically correctness here. Would you call it rural, or what would be the term that people would use?
The non-profane one that I use is East Podunk. I won't use the profane one. But yeah, a really, really small East Texas town where I'm from.
And when you say small town, you mean it's a small town, right?
Yeah. Well, we actually do have more than one stoplight. But where I first started my business, in a small town in East Texas called Jasper, it's a town of about 8,000, and I live in a little larger town now. It's a town of about 18,000, both in Southeast Texas. But my first obstacle was trying to figure out how the heck to get clients. When I moved back to Texas from Massachusetts, I'd lived there for 11 years. I had gone through a transition that I don't recommend anybody to go through. I was married at the time, so I asked my then husband for a divorce. I put my house up for sale, sold most of my possessions, and packed my dog. I got custody of the dog and moved back to my Texas hometown of Jasper, which was 1,800 miles away, and opened my business in my mother's garage, moved back into my bedroom that I'd occupied as a kid, and opened up a business as a virtual assistant. Now, my hometown has no real big industries. You know, their biggest not any that I'm interested in at any rate. Their biggest industries are bass fishing and timber, neither of which were my target market. So thank God for the internet. Jasper did have internet connection at the time, and actually got, you know, DSL within a pretty short period of time. So I was able to figure out my target market and market to those people. So thank God there were people, you know, on the East Coast and the West Coast, which is where my clients came from in my first business, and managed to use internet marketing to build up a profitable business within about 3 months after I started. I had been substitute teaching at the time just for a little cash to come in. And one of my proudest moments was when they called me to come in for a day to substitute teach at the high school. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't afford to do that. I'm charging per hour what you're paying me for the day, so you can take me off the list now.
Yeah, that's got to be a good feeling to say thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, absolutely. And
so you said 8,000 people. So that's generally what a lot of people think of as being that obstacle. Well, man, it's hard. I live in such a small town. You know, these people aren't going to get your clients. So you went virtual and started being what people think of as a virtual assistant. And a lot of people think of that as task-based. You know, it's you know, here's a checklist. Here's some things task-based. And a lot of people sometimes confuse those tasks with actually doing marketing. You always hear a lot of times people say, well, I'm an internet marketer. Well, what do you do? Well, I build WordPress. And well, no, that's not necessarily marketing. that's task. How did you kind of mix and get the marketing bug with, you know, doing some of the VA stuff?
Well, Jack, my background is in higher ed administration. That's what my master's degree is in. And I worked for 7 years at a small college in Massachusetts in residence life. And part of what we have to do in residence life is do educational programming for students. When I was there, when I was assistant director, and I worked with a bunch of resident advisors who are the student staff and residence directors who were the adult full-time staff, we always had to come up with new and interesting ways to make students want to gravitate toward our on-campus educational programs, whether that was, you know, how to get through your first job interview, or it was about homophobia or date rape or whatever, because our biggest competition was the latest keg party that was happening off campus. Now, you know, in higher ed, we really never looked upon that as marketing. It was just stuff that we did, you know, programming that we did to keep the students on campus and not intoxicated.
I would have to say that's probably a very good training grounds for marketing, when you have to convince people to stay on campus for a training class versus go to a keg party, right?
Right, right. Or even stay on campus for an entertainment event. You know, we would do like these Family Feud game shows, or we would have I worked in a townhouse environment. We'd have a progressive dinner. So even though they weren't all necessarily educational, most they could also stay on campus for social kinds of things. But of course, you know, none of them involved alcohol, and so, you know, they weren't seen as cool as the keg party off campus. But I never really equated that skill with marketing until I got into business and started talking with some other business folks, and, you know, talking about my ideas for this, that, and the other. And they're like, Donna, that's marketing. And it's like, whoa, really? I didn't realize that. It was an eye opener for me to realize that all these skills I'd gained in programming and higher education were a really great transition into the business world under the guise of marketing. And so it was in that way that I figured out that I had a real talent for marketing, and so quickly went from offering virtual assistant services to helping people like coaches, consultants, speakers, and authors with their online marketing, because all the folks that I worked with had a global business. You know, they could coach people anywhere, any location. And so did a lot of the back end strategy, copywriting, as well as tasks like helping them use the technology for their teleseminar or their webinar provider, helping them with the mechanics of putting their email newsletter together or their autoresponder series together or updating the website. So I was kind of a weird VA, or as some people might describe it, because I did the task as well as provided the strategy. So it was not so, it took me not very long time to figure out that I was really better calling myself an online business manager rather than a virtual assistant, because I provided that extra bit of a strategy consultation that normal VAs didn't have the ability to provide.
Right. And so you one, I think, built up an education and probably learned a lot of the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, the pitfalls and the benefits of the things online marketing by doing this for clients.
Absolutely.
And kind of on the job training, seek or swim type stuff. So you learned a lot of the principles, and of course you had kind of an inclination for that. You know, saw kind of what the problems were and the benefits. And when you would have successes with these people, the successes would be in, you successfully set up a webinar, you successfully put together a autoresponder sequence or things like that, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, when we would be working on something like, say, search engine optimization or getting more traffic to their website, it's not an overnight process that happens. It's not something that you do one week and, you know, voila, the result appears the next week. It's a longer process. You know, you've got to go in it for the longer haul. And unfortunately, clients don't want to realize that. They think there is a magic pill that they can take that makes things happen magically overnight. They don't want to hear that there is no magic pill, and they want immediate success. So as I, you know, work with more and more clients, I wasn't getting fueled by the work that I was doing, because you know, there continued to be this dissatisfaction of not getting results as fast as they desire. And of course, that was really hard to counter because, you know, if you get lots of marketing emails, all you read is, oh, be a millionaire in the next 30 days, or I can make you $100,000 by tomorrow. And it's all hype and it's all not true, but man, it's really hard to combat the hype, you know, with what the truth is, because the truth is just not oftentimes pretty and not what they want to hear.
Right. And so the as you were doing this, and I think a couple of years ago, I think I offered a course on putting together a bestseller or a book, you know, more in the style that we do around credibility versus, you know, selling a ton of books. And you took that kind of resonated with you because you were kind of one of the early, you know, people that recognized the power of authority marketing and that credibility, and were kind of putting the pieces together, right?
Absolutely. I've seen other people do this, but they were always celebrity books. So, you know, it was charging lots of money to get in a same book with Jack Canfield or Ali Brown or, you know, somebody who has a lot of name recognition. But I also saw that people weren't satisfied with those celebrity books because, you know, the book was created and, you know, people sold it on their own websites and it's kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I've got this book. But what you were offering was completely different in that, you know, each author would become a best-selling author. The whole book would become a bestseller. Each author would get some media mentions on various media outlets. And so it was a completely different mindset than what I'd seen from the celebrity books. So I decided, well, you know, let's see if I can do this. And so I became my own guinea pig and had a group of colleagues that wanted to participate. And I, you know, we went all in and I footed the, you know, the back end work, which wasn't that much, and had them write their chapters and told them that we would become an Amazon best-selling author from this book. And they didn't really think that I could do that.
Well, let's talk about that. I want to stop that real quick because I think that's an important part that people, especially that haven't done this, they, you know, a lot of people think of the mechanics of doing it, but they don't think about the mindset and the reaction that people have and the skepticism. And when I say skepticism, it's not like I don't believe you. It's that hopeful skepticism. Well, that would be great, but it sounds too good, you know, to be true, you know, really. Because that's one of the things with those celebrity books that you talk about is, you know, that it's kind of framed as be in this book with the celebrity, and that's why, you know, the book is going to be a best-selling book and that kind of thing. But the way that, you know, I started doing it is like, well, forget being in the book with the celebrity, be the celebrity, right? Be the the person with the credibility. And that's where some people have, you know, doubts in their minds. So they were all in and they were skeptical, not in a I don't believe you way, but you know, it sounds great, but I'm not holding my breath kind of way, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. They weren't, and I said, okay, Donna, you know, we'll trust that we believe that you think you can get it done, you know, now show us kind of thing. And, you know, there's a kind of a side story of when I was asking people to participate in this with me, I, you know, contacted people that I knew. One particular person that I contacted who I had a lot of respect for at the time was an attorney. And what happened with that situation, she ended up reprinting my request to her on her Facebook wall and denigrated me. I mean, just really ripped me apart, saying there is no way that she can make anybody a bestseller. She's guaranteeing it before it happens. And there was another well-known marketing guy who I used to have respect for who kind of jumped on that. And, you know, there was this whole bit of Facebook shaming going on. And I decided to out myself and came out on her wall saying that I had done that and really authentically wanting her to participate because I respected her. And she then denigrated me again, saying how horrible it was that, you know, I was saying this, and you know, whoever taught me that should be ashamed because there's no way that would happen. And it turned out to be a really nasty episode. I ended up, you know, unfriending her and the other guy and just got off of that and decided that, you know, they were never going to believe me. So that was kind of the bad section of it. And so this woman, of course, wasn't involved in the book, but in terms of taking the book that we did and making a bestseller, we did. And I think, well, you know, the best form of revenge is success. And we hit, you know, number one in like 6 or 8 different Amazon categories. And I wanted to go back to her because she did have a book who'd been languishing in Amazon since like maybe 2006. And it's like, well, you know, if you hadn't made so much fun of me, I might offer you the opportunity to do something with your book. But you know what? I'm not even going to make the offer. And you know what? You're not going to get anywhere on this. So like I said, the best form of revenge was success because we did that really successfully. The authors were thrilled beyond belief. They could not believe that they were now Amazon best-selling authors. They couldn't believe the media attention I got for them on the outlets of, or you know, the affiliates of ABC, NBC, et cetera. It just blew them away. You know, what they got by playing in this experiment with me, kind of being my guinea pigs. And so that then gave me the confidence because I used myself as my own guinea pig client that I could do it for other people and then started to charge for that.
Yeah. And so when you talk about, you know, how thrilled they were, did you like prepare or were you prepared for that reaction that they, you know, came back with that what you've done, because you've worked with people in the past with your VA business, your online, you know, business manager, a firm that you had. Had you ever gotten a reaction like that from any service that you've done, even if it took you, you know, 10 times as long and was, you know, way more difficult to do? Had you ever gotten that kind of response reaction from a project you put together?
No. And I have to be frank, you know, that was really addictive. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like making the client so happy and getting results so fast. And I thought, man, I should be doing this all the time. This is a heck of a lot funner than what I'm doing as an online business manager and produces much quicker results, much happier clients, and makes me more happy all around in my business. And so, you know, it was that impetus that, you know, as well as some other things going on that made me decide that I wanted to completely focus my business on authority marketing and doing it in this fashion. And so I closed down the online business manager service. I closed down my internet marketing coaching service. I closed down my my internet marketing training subscription membership website business and put all my eggs into one basket, which is not something I usually do, but you know, I'm able to offer several different offshoots of authority marketing and do that pretty confidently, you know, after somebody becomes an Amazon best-selling author. And it's just been such an enjoyable experience. And I wondered, you know, why didn't I figure this out years ago? But of course, you know, the technology wasn't there years and years ago, you know, as we have with Kindle and Amazon now to make this happen. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think that's, you know, one of the important pieces is the confidence that you have now that you have no doubts on what you're going to deliver. Right. And it definitely allows you to talk about it in a different way, because it's not some vague concept of get you on the front page of Google or anything like that. And the expectations you set are very clear. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the expectations. Now, did any of those people come back and say, well, we're bestsellers. Surely there's got to be a lot of royalties or something that we get out of this, right? How do you set those expectations? I know the way I suggest to do it, but how do you set the expectations that this is about building credibility and authority rather than, you know, generating income from royalties from selling a bunch of books?
Well, you know, Jack, as a matter of fact, there is a story about that. You know, we started actually with 11 authors, including me, in the first book. And after it was all said and done, there had been one author who was, I guess I'll say kindly, kind of a pain in the rear end to work with. We had used the democratic process to pick the name of the book, and I'd given him a couple of cover images, and you know, we democratically chose the cover image, and she was always voting against, you're always kind of the odd man out. You know, everyone would vote for things that she wouldn't vote for, and she would complain about that. And after after we attained the best-selling author status and she got the media mentions, I'd asked for feedback on the process, the whole process, because I wanted to figure out, you know, how to improve it. So when I turned around to sell this, I could offer the best service that I could offer. Well, in her feedback, she ripped me up one side and down the other, saying that I'd been deceitful and that, you know, I should be paying her royalties. And I was like, I thought I'd been really clear about the fact this wasn't about book sales. This was about becoming a well-known authority, you know, and it was as well as an Amazon best-selling author that we weren't concentrating or focusing on book sales. And I asked the other authors, you know, about this, and I said, well, did I fail to get this through to you? And she seemed to be the only one who didn't understand that. And so in this particular case, because she was miserably unhappy with what had gone on, even though she became a best-selling author, had not done that before, even though she got the media mentions, had not done that before, I asked her if she would like to be removed from the book. And she said, yes, I want to be removed from the book because I want to use my information on my own website. So we parted ways. And so that made me hyper aware that I need to mention that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, you know, during a webinar, during a sales conversation, to be sure that it gets through that we're not talking about selling 30,000 copies of your book. We're talking about selling enough to make you an Amazon best-selling author, and then taking that authority you gain as a best-selling author and propelling you forward in other ways and other venues, help you become the number one authority in your field.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I'm glad you brought that up, because one, it demonstrates that you're going to have someone like that every now and then, and two, it demonstrates that only one out of 11 was even concerned with that 10 out of the 11 got the whole credibility piece. And that's who you're really after. Those are the people that you really want to work with. Those are the people that turn around and are thrilled at what you've done for them, and understand that value. So, and there's no reason to, because some people get hesitant about, you know, talking about the details. And I say, don't be hesitant about talking about the fact that this isn't about royalties, that this isn't about selling a lot of books, because if you don't, then you're going to have that one person out of the bunch that is going to be miserable, and they're going to want to spread that misery to you. So just the more clear and upfront you are, the fine, because the other people that were in this book had absolutely no issue with it, right?
Correct. They didn't. They were thrilled. As a matter of fact, one of the authors, she's a pretty good friend, and asked for more detail. So we had a private conversation about this. And she said, well, that's really ironic. You know, she's become an Amazon best-selling author. She's got all these media mentions, and yet she wants nothing to do with the book. She thinks it was like a complete ripoff and is demanding royalty. She's like, I really just don't get that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm not crazy.
Well, yeah.
I'm thinking that she's kind of out of line with this.
Yeah, and I think that's really the case, because, you know, the people that there's always, you know, there's going to be those people that, you know, think like that. But, you know, I think you demonstrated that there's a huge, huge majority in there that got what the value was and was thrilled with the value. So, you know, now as you go forward, did you do a physical book on that, or was that just a Kindle?
No, that was just a Kindle. For the multi-author books, I really haven't done a physical book, except, well, one client I had, the book was authored under her name, and she... we came up with the book contents based on interviews that she had done for a telesummit series. She had about 65 interviews, and we called those down to 9 relevant interviews for the topic of her book. And we actually did create a print book for that, and she was just really thrilled with that, and is selling that on Amazon currently.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that's a way that you kind of – you know, you took and you colored outside the lines, took the principles here. So she had done a lot of interviews. And this is one way, and I want to talk about the distinct difference between someone like that has a lot of content out there, right? She had interviews.
Right.
And does she already have transcripts of these interviews?
Yes, she had those completed as well.
Okay, and so you were able to show her the value of how you could take that and turn it into a book, and with a lot less effort than actually sitting down and write a book. So kind of walk us through the process of what you did there.
Well, she had conducted in, I think, 2013, Grateful Woman Talks. It was a telesummit series. And over the course of the year, had conducted about 65 interviews with a variety of women on a variety of topics. And, you know, her first idea was, well, let's put all these interviews in a book. And I was like, no, that's going to be just completely overwhelming for everybody. Nobody wants to read a book that long. And the interviews really need to be segmented based on topic. I mean, they really need to fit together in some way. So I asked her to take a look at the interviews, see if there would be a bunch of them or a group of them, say 8 to 10, that would naturally fall into a topical area. So she did that. And we came up with the theme of self-care as her book theme. So she picked out 9 interviews that she had done that really related very well to the topic of self-care. And then she ended up contributing an article she had done on that very topic. I took the content, which had already been transcribed, and made it a little less interviewy. We made it more like a storytelling or a chapter, you know, rather than, you know, Stephanie, Nina, like a typical interview might be. And kind of smoothed that out a little bit and put it all together. And we did a Kindle version first and ran her through the Amazon bestseller campaign. She was absolutely thrilled with that. Sent her a little an award. It was a star that she photographed herself, took a selfie of herself with the award and sent it out all over social media. She was thrilled to get that. And then we put together the softcover book through Amazon's Create Space. And she just has gotten lots and lots of acclaim from that, done lots of interviews from being a best-selling author, and has been just overjoyed with the kind of immediate exposure she's gotten for this, as well as for her ongoing TeleSummit series. She's, you know, continuing to do more interviews and offering those interviews out as a part of a membership subscription site that she has.
Yeah, and that's really where the benefit. I mean, there's so many ways to help this build your business, and you know, one of the ways that we sell the books, and one of the benefits is how it does help you to get more interviews. Simply because you have that book and it makes you more attractive for interviews. And so what I really wanted to show the comparison contrast is that you talk to this person and show this person how to take content that they already had and turn it into a book and construct that book, and then really probably get far more value out of that than she may have even gotten out of the original purpose of that content. Now, I know that you've done this, and a lot of people think about this like, oh, you know, hey, a great market, you know, low-hanging fruit would be people that have already written books that are already out there. I'm going to approach them about doing a bestseller campaign on their book. And what you find out is it's a little bit different mindset in the way that they think. Talk about what you found, the difference between approaching someone that's already put together a book and has it out there, doing a bestseller campaign, the value of that, versus a person that already has the content for a book but hasn't constructed the book, and the value of you being able to construct that book and put it out there.
Well, Jack, I had emailed my list last year, asking them some questions and having them reply to me about being a well-known authority. And, you know, a number of those people had books already. And when I had follow-up conversations with them, a couple of them we ended up having to weed out of the process because they had a contract with a publisher and, you know, really couldn't participate in the best-selling Amazon bestseller campaign as I do it, which includes reducing the Kindle version of the book down to 99 cents during the bestseller campaign. And so, you know, we amicably parted ways because they had the publisher in the way. But for those who had self-published, there was still a major roadblock in the way in terms of them viewing this book as their method of becoming the next Oprah or being featured on Oprah. It was going to become the end-all and the be-all of their business because they had put an incredible amount of blood, sweat, and tears into it. It was like the final tome of knowledge of their particular subject in their particular industry. And they saw it as, you know, if only enough people could get their hands on this, you know, I would become a millionaire. You know, I'd become an Amazon bestselling author, being hitting the New York Times bestseller list or the the Washington Post bestseller list or what have you. And they couldn't let go of the fact that the reality was they probably weren't going to be best-selling authors and make tons of money on that book. They refused to acknowledge their book as a business card, and that's what books are these days. They don't want to acknowledge the fact that they really need to build their business around the book. The book serves as the foundation, the jumping off point for them to create more coaching programs, consulting gigs, home study programs, other kinds of products and services. and the two will continue to feed each other. You know, and I kind of look at Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman as great examples. I did a webinar last week in which I was citing the fact that they didn't rest on their laurels after they published the book. You know, if you look at each of their sites, they've got tons of ongoing training, whether it's virtual training or CDs and home study programs and coaching programs. And, you know, they've turned out more bestsellers, and it's probably kind of like the chicken or the egg kind of thing, you know, about, well, did the other programs and services contribute to their bestsellers, or did the best-selling bit come first? But there's no doubt in my mind that they all feed each other to develop a really well-rounded, very profitable business. It's just not one or the other. And getting the self-published authors out of that mindset proved to be very difficult for me, so difficult that I don't even really want to go down that road anymore, because they can't let go of the fantasy.
Well, you know, and I think that's why I wanted to bring that up, because, you know, to talk about, you know, pitfalls, and because, you know, logic would make you think that, oh, that's a perfect market to go after. They have a book. But it's also one of the reasons why I kind of stay away from fiction writers and people that, because they have put some very important work and knowledge into that book. And some of them have spent years putting that book together. So they have far more invested. And it's the same as, you know, people that invest in different things for business, that it's, you know, sunk cost prejudice that I've already put this much into it. There's no way I could sell this for 99 cents or devalue it or anything like that, because they're thinking that this book is going to make me money. I'm going to make money on royalties, or I'm going to, you know, it's going to turn into that big, you know, nationally known bestseller. Whereas if you take someone that has that content sitting out there that never, you know, considered putting that in the book, or they just thought a book was beyond their reach, all of a sudden the value shifts dramatically. And so I want to make sure that people understand that it's not just, you know, it's not just about the bestseller, and it's about the fact that you're taking them somewhere where they never conceived that they could possibly be. And that's the bestseller. So do you see that's a dramatic difference in perceived value between talking to someone that's already gone through the struggles and put their book and self-publish it, versus someone that has the content but just not the awareness or means to put it together and publish it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, being a best-selling author still has this sense of magic and mystery and mystique for people, even though you and I know, because we do it so often, or do it for people so often, you know, that it's you know, a really easy thing to do. It's a big deal, but, you know, in terms of technologically making it happen, it's not that big of a deal. But it's the whole notion of that still holds so much magic, that if you contact somebody who's never thought about a book before, they think you are a great magician. It's like, oh my gosh, you can do that for me. I never thought about that. Or if you've got somebody who's got a lot of content, probably that person has thought once upon a time, you know, it'd be really great if I put the book together for this, but for whatever reason, it never came up high enough on their to-do list, and or they were completely overwhelmed by the process. And so if you can help them to either take that content and put it together in a book that would help them build their authority, or more easily make themselves an authority by interviewing them and have that interview appear in a multi-author book that becomes an Amazon bestseller, they will think that you are Jesus walking on water. they could never do that themselves.
Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing, you know, the reaction and just the, you know, how powerful it is really something that you can only get and feel when you actually do it. And it's something that most people don't think about as they're putting their plan together. They're thinking, oh, I'm going to get this, I'm going to, you know, charge this, I'm going to make this much money. But the what happens when you actually tell somebody that they've become a bestseller, or you send them that award, then you get that piece of it that you know, so accurately described as addictive, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I love the way that I feel by making them feel like this, and I want to do that again. I'm ready to do it again, right? And it really is a you know, why this is kind of one of the most special things that I've actually, you know, participated in and done for people. It really is that addictive. So, I want to thank you for sharing this information and being a real inspiration for people that are out there putting this stuff together and getting started. What would you, you have any suggestions to plow through any doubts or any of those obstacles? Because people always like to play the what if game, right? What if this? What if this? What if this? What's your suggestion on facing those types of mindset challenges?
Well, I suggest to people do what I've always done in my business. When I didn't have the confidence to think I could do something, I made myself the guinea pig. And so I would always test out my new service, my new strategy, my new theory on myself and my business to see if I could make it work on that. Because if I could make it work on that, then I could really talk confidently to people about making it work for their business. Now, if it was a complete flop, it's like, okay, great, lesson learned. Let's go to the next one then. But make yourself your guinea pig. If you don't have the confidence that you can do it for your own business first. Do it the right way, learn from your mistakes, and then you can confidently and easily talk about that to other business owners and doing it for their business as well.
Well, and that's exactly it. There's always someone that you can do this for, namely yourself, right? If you are looking to do that, if you have doubts. And so on an achievability scale, for someone that's thinking about doing this, or am I really going to be able to do this? Is this real? How would you rank this on the achievability rankings for someone to be able to actually put together a book and take it to the bestseller status?
Well, Jack, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's a 15 because I mean, technology has made this so easy. Amazon is a godsend in terms of helping people create multi-author books or create best-selling books. And the world is just ripe with opportunities of people who would love to be included as a part of this. I mean, I can't see anybody would ever run out of clients, there being a shortage of clients, because it is still a really cool, neat thing to be a best-selling author. So the world is your oyster if you let it be.
Perfect. That's beautiful. Even when you live in a rural.
In Odon, Texas, yes.
That's it. Well, Donna Gunter, I want to thank you for coming on and inspiring people and sharing this. Like I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I definitely like to let people know the pitfalls, and I certainly appreciate you sharing those, and it definitely helps people get past those, knowing that there's a lot of good stuff on the other side. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I always say, Jack, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because God knows I didn't do it to start out the right way, nor do I live in a major metropolis. So if I can do it, anybody can.
Good stuff, and I can't wait to see what you're doing next and keep up with what you're doing, because I think you got some good stuff coming up, and you definitely have some good ideas the way you're putting this together. So look forward to it.
Well, thanks, Jack.
All right, fantastic. Well, there you have it. Authority agency, it's something that I say it's not an easy button. It takes effort. It takes commitment. But if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do that, you can make some magical things happen. And like I say, you are the only real game changer.